Listen, there's a word for us that I need to talk about so the Lord don't slap me upside the head. It's found in the book of Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 7 and found out that Joshua sent two spies that ended up in Jericho in the house of a prostitute by the name of Rahab. Rahab lied about the whereabouts of the men. She said they had left the city when they was actually hidden on her roof. And today we pick up that storyline in verse 8. It says, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard, which means somebody must have been talking, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord give us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hill so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go up, go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you left us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on your own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied, let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. I want to wrap up my thoughts today talking about a saved lying prostitute. A saved lying prostitute. Part two. On last week, we started off talking about being mindful of prostitution and lying. And under prostitution, I said we ought not be too hard on Rahab. At least she worked for a living. Instead of simply waddling in the injustices of her life, she took her lemons and made some lemonade. I said that we ought to get up off of her because she does not appear to fight her label of being a sinner. There are some people who are in a bed for bread relationship today. There's no love in this relationship. It's just I do a little something, something, and you give me a little something, something. And in their mind, they think this is something other than prostitution. It is disturbing to see how we can look down our sinful noses at other sinners as if we are so much better than. If we see ourselves the way God sees us, the Bible says at our best, we are all dirty, filthy rags. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not even one. Our energy would be better used helping one another instead of condemning one another. We moved on to talk about lying, and we noted that some people are just wicked. They just lie for gain. Others lie because they think it's the least of the evils, and some lie because they think it's the greater good. When you and I stand before the Lord, I fear we're going to have to give an account of how do we say all of these marvelous things in our church covenant, and yet too many of us don't live up to the church covenant. We say marvelous things in wedding vows, and too many don't live up to wedding vows. If we would just come clean with God, the book says if we would confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. I like this part here. Cleanse us from all of our iniquities. Thank God for Rahab. Now today, I press on to talk about how we should work on trusting God and saving our families. What is he talking about today? Trusting God and saving our families. Under trusting God, Rahab grew to trust God based on what she heard. Book says she heard, which means somebody had to be talking. You can't hear if nobody's talking. She heard about how God has power, and he uses the power to destroy the enemy. She heard about Sihon and Og, the enemy of God's people, being destroyed on the east side of the Jordan. But she also heard how God can use this power to defend his people. She heard about how God took care of his people as they were escaping from Egypt, dried up the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army got drowned in the sea. She heard about how God was a merciful God. Even though the people were rebellious, instead of God just cutting them off, he took care of them out in the wilderness. For 40 long years, he provided bread from heaven. For 40 long years, he kept shoes on their feet, clothes on their back, kept the enemy from conquering them, kept beasts from destroying them. And after 40 years, God in his mercy is getting ready to give them the land of Canaan. When Rahab processed all that she heard about God, looked at her own situation, she said, I need to get hooked up with that God. Can I tell this silent, perhaps sleek crowd here today that God is just as powerful and loving today as he was back then? You will not think that God has grown weak in 2014. In my imagination, I believe that if God let out an uncontrolled sneeze, he'd mess around here and blow the sun out. Hurricanes would be on the water and tornadoes would be out on the land. God is a powerful God. If you think a cheetah is fast, you ought to see how fast my God is. If you think a bear is ferocious, you haven't seen ferociousness, if that's a word, it's at least in Bain's dictionary, ferociousness. You haven't seen this until you've seen my God. God is a powerful God. And with his power, he is able to destroy wickedness. The reason we don't have to lose heart, the reason we don't have to throw in the towel because of all of this crazy stuff we see in Ferguson and in other places is because my God is so big. He's able to bring down those who think they are all of that. You know, there are people in Ferguson that think the system is just so broke that this is a hopeless situation. I'm here to tell you that I don't care how big the politicians are, how strong the police force may be, how entrenched the mores and the systems may be, my God is so big and so bad he can snap his finger and turn that whole thing around. I heard Paul put it like this, every knee shall bow, and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. But he does not only have power to destroy the enemy, he has the power to defend and to deliver his own. Now, I'm thankful he can deliver us. That means he can get me out of a bad relationship. Somebody say amen. He can get you out of a terrible job. Somebody say amen. He can get that painful, draining sickness out of your body. I'm thankful that he can deliver. However, he does not always deliver, at least on my timetable. There are times when I want him to deliver and I'm still in it. Anybody here still in it? If you got bills left on your counter, you still in it. If you still in a bad relationship, you still in it. If you got pain wrecking your body, you still in it. And you might just think that because God has not delivered me, then perhaps God is weak. I'm telling you that God does not only use his power to deliver and not only to defend, to destroy the enemy, but he also gives us power to endure. You're still standing. I know it's not what you thought it was going to be, but if you look at it one more time, you would have to agree it could have been a whole lot worse than it is. Reason you're here is because God is holding you up. I heard Jesus, my big brother, say in John 17:11, the prayer from Jesus to the Father was, Lord, keep them. Isn't that an interesting prayer? Check it out. John 17:11. The prayer of Jesus was not to deliver them. The prayer of Jesus was to keep them. The NIV says, protect them. Sometimes God does not keep us out of stormy weather. What he does is protect us in the midst of stormy weather. And if you just wait on him, you'll discover that he still loves you. Somebody sitting around here all depressed and moping around because you don't have a man, you don't have a woman, your children don't want to be bothered with you, your parents don't want to be bothered with you, you can't make ends meet, everything just seems to be so jacked up in your life, and you playing your song, What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas? Already, it's still November, and you're talking about what the lonely do at Christmas. I tell you what to do. You rejoice in knowing that God is still in this thing. His love and his power, they are aimed at my favor. But I think I ought to tell you, it's not a blanket love. It's not a blanket power to defend. This love, this power, is reserved for those who are right with God. And I wish I could just run past this point and assume that everybody in the room is right with God, but I've been around long enough to know everybody's in church is not right with God. And I don't want y'all getting to heaven saying, well, I thought I was right because Reverend didn't say nothing about me not being right. Listen, you don't get right by just showing up in church. The only way you get right with God is you got to accept Christ as your Savior by faith. Rahab did not get saved because she stopped prostituting. She didn't get saved because she stopped lying. She got saved because she trusted the plan of God. And the only way you and I are going to get saved is not because we stop all of this sin. It's not because we start doing all these right things. Our only hope of glory is that Jesus' blood pays for it all. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. Rahab, I believe, was desperate about trusting God. I think she was desperate because there's no record of discussing secondary matters. Some of us, if we were there, we would want to raise intellectual questions. Like, why does God send spies? I thought God could see everything. I thought he knows everything. So why does he stoop down to using spies? Some of those who see themselves as part of the Sanhedrin court of Pharisees would still be stuck on, why did the spies end up in the prostitute's house? What did y'all do in the prostitute house? Out of all these houses in Jericho, why did y'all end up in the prostitute's house? But when you are desperate, you don't waste no time, no energy on all these little secondary matters. The only thing Rahab want to know is that God of y'all's, can he somehow, some way find favor on me and my family? She was desperately trusting the Lord. I asked the Lord to help me paint this picture, and this is the best I came up with. If you were sitting watching your favorite television show, perhaps the Bengals today, or if you were asleep, sound asleep, enjoying your little Sunday afternoon catnap, and a fire engine came down your street, making all that racket with that siren and that bell, you would see that as a great annoyance and be praying for it to go on about its business somewhere. But if your house was on fire, I said if your house was on fire, that same siren, that same bell would become music in your ears. It couldn't get there fast enough because you are in a desperate situation. Do you not know there are people who treat the will of God as if it is an annoying interruption instead of the siren and bell of salvation? When the word of God says we are wrong and we need to repent and start doing right, instead of us saying, Lord, help me line up with your word, do you not know there's folk that just go find somebody that's preaching something altogether different? Everybody looks for a preacher that says, I'm all right. And the reason you got problems in your life is because the world is all wrong. But if you just hold on and put $20 on the table, it's going to be all right. We don't preach about it as much as we used to. But I remind you, Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, Revelation 20, 14 and 15, shows us that hell is still hot. It's still eternal. You will not think that because it's not on the popular playlist that God has taken it out of the Bible, you ought to desperately trust the Lord because it's getting late in the evening. Sun is going down. Well, come on now. That was trusting in God. Now I'm talking about saving our families. Rahab did all she could to get her family right with God. And according to Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 through 24, Joshua 6, 22 through 24, it says that the whole family was saved. Nobody in her family were destroyed. There's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Each year, first Sunday of the year, I preach from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. But if you back up one verse to verse 20, these marvelous words are there. You can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. When I look at Rahab, this lying prostitute, never got the right hand of fellowship, never got baptized, didn't go through new members class, didn't go through training union. She got her whole family saved. Then I think about how churchified we are. And many of us have family members that's not even thinking about coming to church. It's a little confusing. And worse than the lack of fruit is how we confuse leaves with fruit. You see, there are some who pride themselves on church attendance. I come every Sunday, Reverend. We pride ourselves on our wardrobe. Look at how churchy my clothes are. We pride ourselves on leaves when the Lord is actually looking for fruit. Some of us ought to stop telling folk how long we've been in church. Because when you're only in church for a couple of months, people don't expect a whole lot out of you. But when you've been in church for 30 years, you ought to be stronger in the Lord. There ought to be some fruit coming from your tree. Now, I must admit, sometimes you can give your best witness. You can pray your best prayer. You can sing your best song. You can live the best life you know how to live in front of these people, your loved ones. And they just have made up in their mind, I don't want to be bothered with that Jesus stuff. Noah had this problem. Y'all remember Noah back in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7? Noah was trying to tell the people, listen here, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. And they said, man, it ain't going to rain. It ain't never rained that hard before in your life. You crazy. And they kept on partying. Noah said, hey, it's going to rain. It's going to rain on your head. They said, Noah, you better go away from here. And sure enough, it started raining. And by the time they finally made up in their mind they wanted to get on the ark, guess what? The Lord had shut the door. Why didn't the people get on the ark? It wasn't because of a lack of preaching. It was because the people decided we don't want to be bothered with getting on this ark stuff. Another point, Jesus. Some of y'all heard about Jesus. Have y'all? Have y'all heard about Jesus? All right, y'all heard about him back in the back? Jesus? Yeah, yeah. Jesus, he was a great preacher, great teacher, and yet so many people rejected what he had to say. In fact, it was some of those he preached to that played the part in crucifying my Lord. What I'm trying to get you to see is some of our family members are not in the house of the Lord. Not because we did not try, it is because they chose darkness over evil. But come on, let's tell the whole truth. Sometimes they're not here because we have not given our best in witnessing. We have not made it critically clear. We have not made it plain that God is not selling wolf tickets. One of these days, he's coming back again, and you won't have time to do a do-over. We've not made it plain that no matter how jacked up your life is, the same God who saved a lying prostitute under the law is able to save you no matter how jacked up you think your life is. If we told the whole truth, some more of our loved ones might be in church if they saw God doing more good work in our life. It's hard for people to want to get with your God and you cussing, fussing, smoking, drinking with them on Saturday, talking about, man, why don't you go to church with me on Sunday? That just don't go together. Rahab had heard about the Lord. You know, there might be a little bit more of our family in church if they heard us talk more about the goodness of the Lord and less about the sinfulness of the people. Isn't that sad? That there are people who know all about the pastor's inadequacies. They've heard about how militant Baines can be, how impatient he can be, Baines University and all of this, but never heard about Baines is trying to get us to lead people to Jesus Christ. How stupid that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord plays rewind on our life and he plays how many times we said stupid stuff out of our mouth to people that don't have Jesus in their life, but never told them that God loves you and want to bless your life. Never told them that no matter how many sins you have, the blood is strong enough to cover it all. That out of all of the rumors and gossip that came out of your mouth, because you know that's how Southern's business get out in the street. Strangers don't come up in here and carry our business. Members sit up in here and carry God's business. If we could carry the gospel as far as we carried gossip, it might be a little different. Rahab heard about how these 12 tribes of Israel were working together. She heard about how the haves were fighting side by side with the have-nots. She heard about how a whole nation of people were moving forward to the promises of God. If Rahab was here today, what would she see? Would she see division? Would she see infighting and power struggles? Would she see the haves distancing themselves from the have-nots? Would she see people more focused on what we used to do than what God is doing right now and what he's promised us in the future? Rahab got her family saved. When you get finished with all of your analysis, the question is still on the table. Where is our family? The reason it's an important question is because if we ever get saved, one of the things that come with salvation is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit challenges us to live by the Word of God. Could you just imagine what a world this would be if we had more people lined up with God's Word? Micah chapter 6, verse 8, talks about how the Lord wants us to do justly. That is, the Lord is concerned with what we might call social justice. Long before the civil rights struggle, long before there was an NAACP, God had already said, I want justice to roll down like a mighty stream. The reason why we must preach and teach so hard is because we never know when somebody sitting right here might make up in their mind to let the Lord use them to be one of the council members of our city, or to be one of our school board members, or to be one of our state senators or representatives, or one of the congressional representatives for our area. You never know what God is going to do in and through your life. I'm so glad that when God saves us, he already has a plan to use us. And what God may use you for is much longer than preaching, singing, and ushering. The whole world belongs to my God. And if by chance God uses you in the political arena, you remember your pastor told you he wants you to be a drum major for justice. Did you hear what I said? Could you imagine a world where politicians tried to live by what God calls justice? What a difference the news would be in Ferguson this morning if there were more people in positions of power that believed in living by divine justice. I gotta keep on moving. If there were more people that lined up with God's word, that mean that men would have to run by Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 5 talks about loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And then chapter 6 talks about how fathers are to raise their children in the fear and admonition of God. If more men would line up under God's word, can't you see how more children would be in church with their father? How more children would be doing better in school? Yes, but that's not all that's in the Bible. The Bible teaches in Ephesians 5 and Titus 2 that wives ought to submit to their own husbands, and the older ladies ought to teach the younger ladies how to live, how to live, how to live for my Lord. Oh, how different our families, churches, and communities would be. But that's not all that's in the Bible. The Bible says in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Ooh, what a difference Southern could make if all of us with our holy church selves would make up our mind to give at least 3 hours every month to service outside of this church. Yeah, what a difference it would make if we were good for more than showboating on Sunday. If we help somebody outside of these sacred walls. Now I must admit, I chose 3 because it sounds doable. But some of y'all need a more spiritual reason for 3 hours a month. So try this on for size. One for the Father and one for the Son and one for the Holy Spirit. Whatever floats your boat, help somebody along this journey. The Lord has not sealed you with the Holy Ghost just so you can sit up here on Sunday morning. Have you not heard that there's all kinds of SOSs around our community? Everybody need a little more help. The NAACP needs some more help. The Urban League needs some more help. Every Child Succeed needs some more help. Matthew 25 Ministries needs some more help. The Gospel City Mission needs some more help. City Link needs some more help. The National Action Network needs some more help. Everywhere you look, there's a need for some more help. The Boy Scouts need some help. The Girl Scouts need some help. Find something for your hands to do. Let the Lord do a good work in and through your life. Don't mess around and die. And the only good work is you occupied a seat in the sanctuary and help somebody, touch somebody, sow a kind word, sow a kind deed in somebody's life before you mess around and die. I gotta leave you, I gotta leave y'all here, but here's my prayer. Somebody heard me say, no matter how jacked up your life might be, if you start trusting God from right here, the Lord is willing to come in to your sinful life and turn your whole life around. I'm so glad that the Lord saved a lying prostitute under the law, because if he can do it way back then, surely he's able to do the same and even more under grace today. Isn't God all right? No matter how sinful you think your life may be, my God specializes in healing the sin-sick soul, no matter how wicked and low down family members may be. If you can just get them in the house and hooked up with the Lord, the Lord can turn their whole life around. Isn't God all right? I think I ought to tell you, it's gonna be too hard for you to do by yourself, but I thank God you're not in it by yourself. You and I have some help, and I want to spend my last 5 minutes telling y'all about our help. Our help was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Our help made blind folks see and lame folk walk. Our help, was crucified one Friday, but early Sunday morning, our help got up from a borrowed tomb with all power in his hand. Our help, sits on the right side of the Father. But one of these old days, one of these old days, he's coming back for his church without spot, without wrinkle. I think y'all know who I'm talking about, but I can't go this far without calling his name. Would you please help me? Help me call his name. His name is Jesus. 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 I love his name. I love his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. I don't care how jacked up your life is. If God can save a lying prostitute under the law, then surely he can save you under grace. Surely He's able to save your family under grace. There's nothing impossible for God. But you got to trust Him. You got to look past all of the judgmental looks and sneers. You got to walk through the Sanhedrin court and understand you're not trying to get accepted into a social club. You're getting right with God. And I'm telling you, it's getting late in the evening. The sun is going down. For all you know, this will be the very last chance you get to say, "Yes, Lord." If I was you, I would just walk right on through the crowd and get my business fixed with the Lord. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, would you please step out in the aisle and come on right now? If you know you need to get yourself...